The opinions and commentary expressed on the program you're about to hear do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or its advertisers, but it may weigh heavily on what's between your ears. It's the Krieger Files with Dave Krieger, brought to you by a network of radio stations who care about the communities they serve. Alexa, turn on the Krieger Files.
And here we are on our Friday edition. Pleasant good morning to all of you listening to us live. Phone number is 208-216-6100 is our call-in number. If you're passing around our information as far as how to listen to Liberty News Radio online, that number is 631-359-9366. Of course, if you got a pen and paper handy, you know, if you listen to the show, you may want to take notes. We've had a lot of you that I didn't anticipate listening to the show out there. Welcome aboard. They're increasing by the thousands on a weekly basis, and we appreciate that. One of the things that happened yesterday, if you were paying attention, we were all watching Steve Bannon's War Room yesterday as the far-right conspiracy theory site that inspired the most popular remix about gay frogs, The Onion. This is a Chicago-based satirical newspaper. It announced yesterday it won the bankruptcy auction for Alex Jones's media empire, InfoWars. Jones, of course, dismayed at what was going on. We have his comments right here. This is him on the War Room with Steve Bannon. Go.
The Connecticut Democrats with the Onion newspaper bought us. They asked, did they outbid? They said, well, it was competitive. So they changed all the bidding rules, made it secret 2 days ago. I had a bad feeling. I told you that. And just like they tried to shut us down back in late May without a court order, they're supposed to have a court order. There's going to be injunctions filed. I'm about to go live out of Harrison's American Journal studio. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to be here until they come in here and turn the lights off. And I'm going to say, where's your court order? So this is all going down right now. They want to silence the American people. I'm going live right now from what probably will be the last transmission from this building. God bless you all for your support. Please support our sponsors so we get funds to stay on the air at the Alex Jones Network, thealexjonesstore.com. Take action. I need your support. InfoWars is really the detonator for this whole global movement that's happening. Your support did that. You're the reason it's happening. You are the resistance. God bless and good luck.
Well, and there you have it. And during the commentary with Steve Bannon on InfoWars.com, all of a sudden the website went blank. Server not working. Yep, we were there when it happened, watching it all go down. For those of you Alex Jones supporters out there, his media empire, InfoWars, was taken over for an undisclosed amount. Its assets, which include the 400-plus domain names, social accounts, newsletter subscriber lists, trademarks, a mountain of supplements, and the InfoWars production studio in Austin, which I have been to, which in of itself is worth several million dollars, sitting as is. Now, that's a leased facility. I don't believe that the InfoWars group actually owned that building. I think it was leased. But all the stuff that's inside of it, that was worth a pretty penny. That was the empire that Alex Jones built up that just got taken apart. There are a lot of people that are jumping up and down celebrating that. Of course, we in the alternate media world are not. Those who want the truth to get out, whether or not you think that what Alex was sharing was conspiracy theory or not. You know, we try to get to the truth. You know, podcasts are fun. Radio broadcasts are fun. I've noticed that when you actually manage to get a hold of a radio frequency like Alex was broadcasting on KLBJ in Austin, a station that I personally did morning drive at when Lady Bird and Lucy were running it. That was back in the 90s. And, of course, you know, it's one of those things. When one goes away, you know, it pops up somewhere else. It's kind of like playing whack-a-mole with the alt-right media. Seriously, I mean, you know, they're going to find another way to get on the air. Alex has already done that. He's going to set himself up in entities that distance themselves away from the midst of all these people that want to collect on behalf of the Sandy Hook lawsuit litigants. They, of course, want every penny they can get. This is what happens when you have the liberal media and the liberal mindset go after a alt-right conservative talk show host. It's going to happen. Now, you ask yourself, does it mean that, you know, moi and all the other podcasters and talkmasters out there could become targets? Sure. Yeah, it does mean that. Everybody on LibertyNewsRadio.com is on a mission, too, to get the truth out there and to boost the Christian morale, which that's very important. And so, you know, what I try to do is stick to the things that matter, like the economy, economic news, what's going on in your world, because everybody is always worried about what's in your wallet. Yeah. Yeah, we told you yesterday about the credit card debt just exploding into the trillions. Ben and Jerry's now. You remember me telling you that the liberal mindset was imploding on itself? Well, they've accused Unilever of muzzling its views on Gaza. Yeah, because, see, Unilever tried to silence Ben and Jerry's support of Palestinian refugees by threatening to dismantle its board and sue its members. Unilever, of course, denied the claims in a statement to Reuters, which makes you wonder who's telling the truth and who's not. But this kind of lets you know that this lawsuit is the latest escalation in a long-standing dispute between Ben and Jerry's and its parent company. In 2021, the brand said it was going to stop selling products in the Israeli-occupied West Bank. Oh, Ben and Jerry's? Gee, I wonder if it's in Hebrew. Well, whatever the case, you know, Unilever plans to spin off Ben and Jerry's by the end of next year. So Ben and Jerry's, wow. You know, you get woke, and you do woke things, and it comes back to bite you. So if you're going to support a war you're directly not involved with, I mean, look what's happening to all of these universities out there that started this garbage. All these professors said, go out and protest. You know, they forgot who pays their salary. It's the people who pay tuition to go to these Ivy League schools. And these schools also get federal funding, which I can imagine when Elon and Vivek get done with them, that they'll end up not having much in the way of federal funding unless they clean up their act and stop this nonsense. Nobody wants it anymore, folks. We're done with the divisiveness here. And all you people out there that are Trump haters that are, you know, self-proclaimed on X or whatever social media platform, I mean, what, Don Lemon and Joy Reid just quit X? Good. Good riddance. Nobody's going to miss you. I mean, it's just the way it is. As long as you're going to continue this garbage and you're going to continue to be divisive and spread hate, you know, there's nothing that we can do. We can't help you. You know, we're going to ignore you. It's just the way it is. In other business news, for those of you that like to shop at Advance Auto Parts, you should know that the company is going to close more than 700 locations to shore up their finances following another dismal earnings report. This car parts retailer has about 5,000 stores. So 700 stores, I mean, that's quite a chunk. That's almost 20%. Of course, they're public and their shares slid nearly 5% in pre-market trading after the earnings report came out. Wasn't as good as what the analysts were predicting. They, of course, lowered their full-year outlook for the second quarter in a row, saying that on its previous earnings call, consumers continue to feel the weight of an uncertain macroeconomic climate. Well, gee, you know, you can thank the Fed for that. Don't just blame the consumers, guys. It's not just the consumers. They've reached their breaking point. They're pulling back on items they don't absolutely need. This is why all these retail outlets are closing, because consumers are having a hard time keeping the lights on and keeping food on the table, let alone keeping the mortgages paid. Which brings me to my next point, foreclosures. Oh, yeah. Adam Data, who I get a lot of my info from, issued its October 2024 U.S. foreclosure market report. Are you ready for the number? Here's the number of foreclosure filings, default notices, scheduled auctions, or bank repos, up 4% from a month ago, but down 11% from a year ago. Now, people are hunkering down, and they're trying to pay down their bills, and they're trying to get extra jobs and extra work and make extra money and liquidating things they don't need and garage sales, trying to raise enough money to, yeah, pay their mortgage payment. 30,784. All right? Get your calculators out now, folks. 30,784 times 12 equals what? Did you total that up? Yeah, but it's a little over 370,000. Yeah, over the year. Now you just, you extrapolate that out as the economy gets worse. I mean, we're not going to bounce back right away as soon as Trump takes office. It's going to take a while. We'll be back with more of this discussion as to who had the highest foreclosure rates after these messages. Stay with us.
With inflation constantly chewing away at the value of paper money, perhaps it's time for Americans to bite back. Ownership of gold and silver coins provides great counterbalance to weaker paper money value. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins. You can reach us directly at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
From the ranks of the disenfranchised, it's the government's worst nightmare. It's the Krieger Files.
All right, back in the saddle here on a Friday edition, 18 minutes after the hours. We move along with our commentary about the foreclosures. You want to know which states posted the highest foreclosure rates? Which ones do you think? Is your state one of them? Nevada, New Jersey, and Florida. Those are the highest, followed by California and South Carolina. And let's not forget, you know, we've got Cleveland and, you know, all the major metro areas out there. Stockton, Lakeland, Florida, Fresno, California, Indianapolis, you know, they're all in there. But the greatest numbers of foreclosure starts were California, Texas, and Florida. Lenders last month started foreclosure process on 20,950 U.S. properties. Now, what are these? Two of them have something in common. One is California and Texas are both deed of trust states, which means they can sell their property on the courthouse steps unless the consumer files a lawsuit to stop it and gets a TRO, temporary restraining order. Florida, on the other hand, is a mortgage state. And in Florida, you get your day in court, which means they're going to serve you with process. And if you can duck process long enough to figure out how, what you're going to do. See, most people, and this is the thing about the 20,950, you can figure that about 50 of those homeowners are going to fight. The other 20,900 homeowners are going to pack up and move out of their homes because this is what they do. Yeah, chicken. They don't want to stand up for what's right. They don't want to stand up for the fact that if their loan was securitized, they were lied to. And of course, I just got done doing an affidavit for a homeowner in California that is fighting the banks. And he's got some real pricks for judges out there. They are bullying him. He's in court on his own with no attorney. And you know how that goes. Boy, the courts treat you like the proverbial caca. So, you know, understand what happens in the foreclosure business. You know, a lot of people just get very distressed and upset. I mean, the U.S. annual inflation rate went up 2.6%. I'm not even sure that that's right, but shelter costs actually accounted for half of the inflation increase last month. Just so you know. I mean, it's kind of scary that, you know, you get an inflation rate. You say, oh no, the inflation, everything is good. The economy. How long are you going to believe the lie? And I mean, this isn't just the United States. I mean, the euro, as we reported yesterday, is also falling and it's about to hit the same level as the dollar. So the longer that this goes on, you know, the more people have their faith in the dollar. But see, as that starts to wane, people buy gold and silver. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration decided that they didn't like the fact that Ford Motor Company, they gave him an F, by the way. They failed to recall timely recall, more than 600,000 vehicles with defective parts. We're talking about rear view cameras. So when you back that thing up, you can't see what you're doing because the camera is defective and you might hit a bumper. Well, this is the second largest fine in history. $165 million for delaying the recall of more than those 600,000 vehicles with defective rear view cameras. The agency linked the defect to 15 complaints, but no injuries. But still, the complaints were there. And it's like, hey, Ford, why didn't you recall the vehicles? You didn't. All right, so you paid for it, right? That's a lot of money, a lot of change. In the meantime, Adam Data also came out with another article revealing the best day to buy a home based on the lowest premium above average market value. Yeah. And what do you think they said? The report found that while November offers a 7.3% premium, it remains the lowest premium for buyers. Additionally, December 4th stands out as the single best day to buy a home. Now, there are a lot of you out there that could disagree with that. I found that the best time to sell a home is May. We've always managed to score very well, but we also did well in October. So, you know, this is Adam Data's, you know, their latest analysis of more than 52 million single family home and condo sales over the last 11 years. Buyers who close on December 4th are seeing the lowest premium above the automated valuation model. Okay. So does that make any sense? Yeah. Of course not. And, you know, they're sitting there saying that best months to buy nationally are October, December, August, and September. Best months to buy by state? Oh, yeah, believe it or not, they got that ranked as well. Yeah, Michigan, better to buy in December, Connecticut in January, Hawaii in June, Illinois in December, and Minnesota in December. I don't know where they come up with this stuff. I think people are going to move when they're going to move. And, you know, if they don't like the political climate based on all the restrictions and everything else, yeah. If they don't like that, they're going to leave anyway. It doesn't matter. For those of you that bought an air fryer, that you like all those gadgets, huh? Consumer group Which? Question mark has warned shoppers to be selective when it comes to buying smart air fryers from Xiaomi, Kosori, and Agostar. Yeah, I had a hard time pronouncing that first one. Starts with an X. Yeah, Xiaomi, I guess. We've learned to expect that smart appliances come with privacy risks, toothbrushes aside, but nobody's really given any thought to the air fryer. Things are about to change, though, because air fryers now are sending information to China. People's personal data from the Agostar and Xiaomi fryers have been found by researchers to be sending people's personal data to servers in China. Nobody ever reads the privacy notices, do they? So when buying any kind of a smart device, question the permissions an app asks for on your phone. Does it serve a purpose for you or the user? Is it just being some vendor being nosy? And see, here's the thing. You know, you get auto insurance. Oh, you can get lower rates if you just download this app so we can monitor your driving habits. Really? I tell them, look, stick it. If you're going to do that, see, this is a problem with auto insurance. If you have a loan on a car, you have to maintain full coverage. You have to protect the lender's interest who loaned you the money, even if they did securitize the portfolio, even if they securitize the paper on your car, which a lot of them do. They put it into an auto trust. Yeah, they have them. Vehicle trust. They got them. If you don't believe me, just go to SEC.gov or SECinfo.com. That's where I go because I have a subscription to it. And just type in vehicle trust or auto trust, and all of a sudden, whole pages of stuff will come up. There's over 20,000 student loan trusts out there nobody knows anything about. And, of course, you know, when you're buying these smart devices, it's best to read the privacy policy because the vendors are counting it. You won't. But these are times right now that privacy policies are very revealing. So you got to ask yourself if the appliance even needs to be smart. If there is no electricity, and this is the other thing that I caution people about, if there's no electricity out there because we have a coronal mass ejection or an EMP or a solar flare that knocks out your juice? How are you going to cook? You going to pull out that electric air fryer? I don't think so. Now, you're going to need to have as many manual appliances as possible, and you're going to need to know how to use them. So when the time comes, and it's a matter of when, not if, according to lawmakers. You know, this is the thing about foreign policy. You piss off enough of the enemy, and pretty soon, you're going to be without electricity. It's the way it is, you know. You don't have solar generators in EMP Faraday bags or Faraday cages. When it comes time, you know, you'll be the only one, or your neighbor who has one will be the only one with the lights on while you're sitting in there in the dark trying to figure out how you're going to cook your next meal, if you even stocked up for it. A lot of people think this is all pure folly. They just go on about their lives just thinking, no big deal. You know, easy solution about these smart appliances, don't install the app. That way you don't have to worry about manufacturers giving your personal data to somebody that doesn't need to know. They may need your name for the warranty, but your gender, your age, and most of the time your address is not needed. So why are we doing this? Because you shouldn't be surprised to find out appliances that are activated by voice commands are listening to you. How do you expect them to know you're giving them an order? You know, it's what they do with the information and how well they are secured against abuse by third parties we should be concerned with. Seriously. I mean, this is a problem. I mean, air fryer. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And, of course, the FBI has issued a warning that cyber criminals are taking over email accounts via stolen session cookies. And I'm not talking about the kind Cookie Monster likes. I'm talking about, you know, these multi-factor authentication issues that allow users, you know, you set it up and you got to have more than one way to get into something. And the cyber criminals use cookies, you know, little tracking devices there when you, you know, we don't think twice about checking the Remember Me box. But see, that's what they do because they create all these unique session IDs, these Remember Me cookies, and they're typically valid for 30 days. And every time you go back to the website, within a time frame, you don't need to log in. I know it's real convenient, but somebody will manage to steal the cookie from your system, and then they will enable your email, especially if you got Gmail, Outlook, Yahoo, and AOL. They can find a lot of useful information about you there, like where you bank, your account numbers, your favorite shops, what credit cards you have. Oh, my. Kind of scary stuff, the world we live in, but everybody likes convenience, don't they? Folks, you know, if you really value the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution, you need to be paying attention to what's going on here. Brian Malinowski, the late Malinowski's attorney, Bud Cummins, will be joining us after the break to give us an update and talk about politics. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us.
Taking back America, one consumer at a time. It's the Krieger Files.
And we're back from the news break with Bud Cummins. Bud Cummins was the former U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Arkansas. And the reason I have Bud on from time to time is because Tuesday, March 19, 2024 is a date that will be forever etched into my brain. Because on that particular day at 6:01 a.m., the jackbooted thug fascist we all know as the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, ATF agents, accompanied by Little Rock police, attempted to crash into Mr. Malinowski's home, and 2 minutes later at 6:03, Mr. Malinowski lay on the floor with two high-velocity rounds in his forehead. Bud Cummins, thanks for joining us again, sir.
Thank you for having me on, Dave.
Well, so where have we gotten in the investigation? I mean, do we have to wait until there's a changing of the guard in the White House before we finally crack down on the ATF, replace its leader, and investigate this thing?
Well, it's kind of interesting that Matt Gaetz has been named as the presumptive nominee for attorney general, because if you watch the congressional hearings on this specific incident from back in May, he was pretty fully engaged and obviously quite critical of ATF. So I don't know that ATF's future looks very good with a Attorney General Gaetz administration, but that's probably a good thing for all of us because they've become dangerous and, you know, they're kind of an agency trying to justify themselves, you know, in search of a mission. So they've gotten into these political regulatory matters. And, you know, in this case, they essentially murdered a private citizen who was minding his own business and now breaking the law.
Right. And for those of us who don't quite understand the circumstances, there were some issues. I mean, you were in D.C. for the hearings, and so was Brian Malinowski's family and sister and brother. What transpired there so that people can, you know, get a grasp of what actually happened and what the ATF did that is come into question?
Well, the House Judiciary Committee convened, you know, hearings over 2 days that were focused largely on this incident, not exclusively on this incident. The first day was my testimony and the testimony of several others who had had some, you know, negative experiences with ATF. But most of it was devoted to the killing of Brian Malinowski. And they very patiently allowed me to walk them through the facts of March 19th and what preceded that. And then the next day they had the ATF director on there who is wholly incompetent and completely political and has no business running that agency. But, his competency and his political bent was on full display that day. So, you know, those hearings were in front of the House Judiciary Committee. I think, you know, very, you know, fully laid out the problems, some of the severe problems at ATF. And it's, you know, not just limited to ATF, obviously. The FBI has lost their way. We're going to have to go in, and if we're ever going to have any, restore any credibility to the Department of Justice, somebody, Matt Gaetz or somebody, is going to have to go in there and completely dismantle it, rebuild it, refocus it, new hiring standards, new training, and build a whole new culture. Because right now they're a bigger threat to the private citizens that they're, you know, supposed to be protecting than they are to the bad guys.
Yeah, I don't think people really, but I really think that the people are not, they just kind of like take this for granted that the ATF was just doing their job and here's some gun-toting lunatic out there. I mean, you know how the media is famous for demonizing people. I mean, they did it at Ruby Ridge, they did it at Waco, and now here, I mean, any innocent citizen like this that, you know, likes to buy and sell guns as a hobby, that doesn't have a license. I mean, they were just serving a search warrant, for crying out loud.
Right. And, you know, it's a lengthy story, but I think, you know, in brief, Brian Malinowski had a full-time job. He was a career professional. He ran our Little Rock Airport. He made over $250,000 a year. He's the highest paid city employee, had a very successful record as an airport manager, one of the 9 airports in the country that's debt-free. And, you know, he on his weekends, he and his wife been married 25 years, didn't have children. He had a lot of time on his weekends, and he liked hobbies. He collected coins. He you know, it developed into gun collecting. He found gun shows as a place that he enjoyed going, and he'd put out his coins. He'd put out his guns. He'd talk to people. He'd sell a few things, trade a few things, buy a few things. That's what people do at gun shows. And as long as you're a hobbyist like Brian was, you're not required to buy a federal firearms license. You're allowed to buy and sell guns on a limited basis. The definition of when you have to buy a federal firearms license to continue selling guns is explained in a regulation that's, you know, about 50 pages long. There's not one objective test in there. It's all a lot of facts and circumstances. You know, it's a weighing of what, you know, how much profit you're making and whether that's your principal purpose in selling the guns and, you know, your livelihood. But they doesn't say you can sell 4 guns, but you can't sell 8 guns or anything like that, that a normal person would, you know, understand. Brian obviously believed he was lawfully operating within this, what the gun control people call the gun show loophole, but it's, you know, this privilege a citizen has to buy and sell their personal property, including firearms, without licensing. And not once did the ATF try to tell him, you know, we're uncomfortable with the number of guns you're selling or how you're going about it. And frankly, you know, it's not overwhelming. Over maybe 4 years, it looks like he may have sold 100 guns at gun shows. He may have, you know, at the time of his death, they seized less than 50 firearms. I've got 50 firearms. So, you know, does that make me some kind of a nut? I mean, they want to make it sound like they tapped into some, you know, trove of, you know, munitions of, he owned 50 firearms. He bought another 100 over 4 years and traded and bought and sold. And not once did ATF say, hey, you've crossed the line here. They treated him like he was a cartel member importing fentanyl into the country or something. They went and got a search warrant, executed it with a SWAT team at 6 in the morning, knocked on a insulated glass storm door outside of the wood front doors of his 3,000-square-foot house. He and his wife never heard them knocking on the door, on the glass doors. Then they decided he, after a few seconds, that he wasn't in the answer door at 6 in the morning when they're in bed. And so they decided they were entitled to do a dynamic entry and force their way into the home. So they pried open the glass doors, didn't make any more announcements as police, crashed into the wood doors. And then, of course, as he and his wife heard that, he thought they were victims of home intrusion. He got up in the dark, got his hand on a pistol, went into the hallway, saw people in his house, shot at their feet, and they shot him in the head and killed him. So you got a citizen who thinks he's a victim of home invasion at 6 in the morning with no warning whatsoever, no notion that he might be in violation of the law or the subject of any kind of criminal investigation, being investigated for the lowest level offense that a U.S. attorney's office would even bother to mess with. You know, when I was U.S. attorney, if they brought more than two of these legitimately into the office, I'd probably tell them to cool it because we had more important things to do. And they, it resulted in Brian Malinowski's death.
You know, that is the sad part about it, because they weren't wearing body cameras to document, and that was ATF policy. And they told Little Rock police, don't wear body cameras. And now there's no way to, it's he said, she said at that point. I mean, just based on that alone, and the fact that they just executed a search warrant and then went dynamic, as you say, and then used hostile force, and they didn't even announce who they were. Because if they had broken up and said, ATF, we have a search warrant, you know, somebody would have heard him and said, yeah, really, show me your badge. There wouldn't have been any gunfire. But again,
there's 0% chance that Brian Malinowski would have wanted to shoot it out with law enforcement. He's a law-abiding citizen. He worked in a highly regulated field. He loved his job. Every friend and family he has says if the government had ever sent him a letter said, you know, you're walking a thin line here. We may come after you, and which might put your job in jeopardy. Everybody 100% immediately says, well, he would have just stopped going to gun shows. He would have never put his career at risk. He had no notion that he was under their scrutiny, or that they believed he was somehow. But, you know, if you read their rule of who has to get a federal firearms license, and it's you could give it to 30 scholars and get 30 different opinions about what it might mean. But what the ATF thinks it means is they have the right to decide unilaterally who's in violation of law and suddenly convert them from law-abiding citizen to, you know, master criminal and start using the most aggressive tactics they have. That before they had search warrant, they had surveilled him. They had run undercover agents. You know, you don't have to be Dick Tracy. A guy's got a table at a gun show, at a public gun show, but they ran undercover agents to buy guns from him there. They put trackers on his car. My God.
Yeah, that's pretty sad. I'll tell you, folks, you see how surveillance works in this country? Oh, we just take it for granted. Yeah, don't worry. It's not going to happen here. Yeah, you don't know that. We'll be back with our conversation with Bud Cummins, former U.S. attorney from the Eastern District of Arkansas, after these important messages.
With inflation constantly chewing away at the value of paper money, perhaps it's time for Americans to bite back. Ownership of gold and silver coins provides great counterbalance to weaker paper money value. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins. You can reach us directly at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
molesting your earballs one more time. It's the Krieger Files with your host, Dave Krieger.
Okay, and we are back at 12 minutes to the hour here on LibertyNewsRadio.com. If you're going to dial us in later on, we'll be on Galaxy 19 Global Star 3 at 11 a.m. Central Time. For those of you that get the satellite feed, and again at 5 p.m. Central, if you are dialing into SQRradio.com, that's Squirrel Radio. We're there. I am so glad that squirrels, owning one is legal in Arkansas, because it sure wasn't in New York. And boy, what a stink everybody made. You know, I don't think people understand that, you know, when they took, Mike Longo's, they crashed into his house. 15 agents came. They treated him like a criminal. They took his raccoon and his squirrel, and they euthanized them and cut their heads off and tested for rabies and found they were negative. And the guy apparently was running an animal sanctuary. But you see, all these innocent things that happen in America, for people who are trying to do good and do the right thing, get blown out of proportion. And Bud Cummins is here with us again to close out the show. And understand that, you know, they could have arrested David Koresh, Vernon Howell, in the grocery store, but no, they had to make a big production about it, and ATF was involved there as well. And four of former Clinton's bodyguards were killed in that raid. Wow. You know, the similarities, it's just like, unless we get somebody, like you say, Bud Cummins, like Matt Gaetz, in charge of the DOJ, and we have a literal upheaval and a straightening out of the mindset in these departments, I mean, this stuff is going to continue. Do you see that happening?
Well, I hope it happens. I would love for it to happen. If they would let me help, I would volunteer tomorrow to go back into government service. Let me tell you something, Dave. You know, 24 years ago, I was appointed by a president to be a United States attorney. It's probably the proudest moment of my career, you know, serving as U.S. attorney. You're not going to have a guest on your show that's more pro-law enforcement than Bud Cummins. I worry about law enforcement safety. You know, my first reaction is always to back the blue. But what we've done, and, you know, when I was U.S. attorney, I thought my job as a young man and a young ambitious man was to, you know, come in. I wanted those prosecutors, and I wanted the FBI agents, the DEA agents, to, you know, I want them to be privately saying, hey, this Bud Cummins is great. He's got our back. He's running knocking down roadblocks to let us do our job. And, you know, that's what I thought my job was. By the time I left there, I started to understand, and I certainly understand now, the presidential appointee in these offices and at the highest levels, you're not there to help attack the bad guys. We've given law enforcement, particularly federal law enforcement, these massive powers, a lot of it in the name of counterterrorism. And I helped put that together after 9/11. You know, all these weapons and SWAT teams and tanks. And we did it for good reasons, because we wanted to be ready to take on bad people that were, you know, threatening the security of Americans. But my job was to protect everybody else from them. My job wasn't to help attack the bad guys. My job was to make sure that those tools were only used with discretion and common sense, and were not used to abuse private citizens all across the country. That's what's happening now. And we put them in the hands of people who are willing to use them for headlines, to use them for political purposes. And we've got to rein it in. And I hope that they send Matt Gaetz or somebody to the Department of Justice that's serious about really making, you know, wholesale changes to the culture in federal law enforcement, because it is really out of control.
Well, I'm a member of multiple sheriff's associations, Arkansas, Florida, and the CSPOA, with Richard Mack, who I know you're aware of. Now, the thing is that we don't expect, Bud Cummins, that there is going to be a situation where, you know, we're going to all be a target somehow, some way, and that somebody is going to disrespect the Constitution enough to violate the law or their own policies in enforcing something that they literally could have just stopped the guy on the street. They could have called him. They could have said, hey, we're investigating you, and this is what we found, and we think that you're breaking the law. Would you come in? Let's talk about it. I'm just kind of like beside myself. I mean, go ahead, your comment.
Well, under these facts, for a regulatory matter that's this vague, there's absolutely no excuse that a private citizen wouldn't be entitled to some notice, some letter, a cease and desist letter, something that says, hey, you know, we're putting you on notice. You may be unknowingly in violation of the law, and we want to talk to you about it, or we want you to quit coming to gun shows and selling guns. And then he could make a choice. He could hire a lawyer. He could do whatever he wanted to do to argue with him over what this ridiculously vague and you know, and the Biden administration, part of this story is, you know, got a political – the Biden administration was in the process of trying to expand this regulation through the regulatory process in a way that Congress had expressly refused to expand it multiple times. And just a few weeks after Brian was killed, Biden announced this new regulation that ATF had on the same issue. And part of the claim was that he was closing the gun show loophole, which is not even legal. So, you know, there's a political element, and it's probably not a coincidence that they threw all these resources into this case against a high-profile person in our community around the planned announcement of this new rule that the Biden administration was going to, you know, tout. And the insults to Mrs. Malinowski and the Malinowski family continue. I mean, we filed a federal tort claim, which is a prerequisite to filing a lawsuit against ATF. Absolutely no response, and not even the courtesy of what lawyer they may have assigned it to. No response whatsoever. They've not returned all the property that they seized, the personal property they seized during the search, and they seized around 50 firearms and ammunition, and they've initiated forfeiture actions and are going to try to do a civil forfeiture action and keep those weapons instead of returning them to Mrs. Malinowski on a theory that Mr. Malinowski was breaking the law. Maybe they're scared to not make that argument at this point because it would, you know, maybe they're trying to justify their actions. And to add insult to injury, you know, she's lost their family income. His life insurance company read the paper, in, you know, false reporting in the paper, and denied his life insurance. So we're having to fight for her on all these levels. We're having to fight her life insurance, the life insurance company. We're having to fight the government that's trying to seize their personal property through forfeiture. And you know, ultimately there'll be a wrongful death action. So not to mention Mrs. Malinowski, who was illegally detained in her night clothes in 32 degree weather for 4 or 5 hours in a police car after the shooting. So, you know, it's not over. And the insults and the injuries to her are continuing. They're ongoing. It's really a horrifying story. And I think most law-abiding citizens think, well, he must have been doing something wrong for them to have. And he wasn't. He really wasn't. He was going out to gun shows in front of God and everybody, setting up tables, selling some coins and some guns, and ATF decided he sold too many.
Wow. I mean, this hits home, folks. If you don't understand this, I mean, the guy's Fourth Amendment rights. I mean, this is a thing. And you got to get permission from the government to sue them, which is a sad thing. But, folks, there's more to the story. The insurance company denies her policy, his life insurance policy, and leaves her in the lurch because there's little exclusions in those insurance policies about civil unrest. You know, civil, you know, there's, you know, all sorts of things. I mean, you read those policies.
They're asserting that he was, you know, he's killed and somehow in the act of committing a crime, which couldn't be further from the truth. No jury will ever find that Brian Malinowski knew anything except that he and his wife were victims of home intrusion and he was trying to protect his wife.
No jury is ever going to say,
yeah, we're going to have to sue an insurance company. We're going to have to fight in court over these firearms to keep them from being, you know, just seized and taken away, forfeited by the government. And then we're going to have to try a jury trial about wrongful death. And, you know, and ATF has not they've never made one public statement to justify this, to apologize for it. Nothing. They have never uttered a word about it.
Well, I'm believing that at some point, if this gets resurrected, and I'm sure it will, if Matt Gaetz gets in the driver's seat and manages to survive the Senate confirmation hearings, this is going to be interesting because you're going to see politics from all angles come out. The bigger picture is there's an affidavit out there from an ATF agent that was submitted to a judge, and the judge issued a warrant based on that affidavit. And I think that once you get a hold of that, in litigation or the House Judiciary Committee or the DOJ gets a hold of that, they're going to find out exactly whether this affiant that submitted this to the judge, to the court to obtain a search warrant, was telling the truth or not, because we have seen instances like at Waco where that ATF agent, Davey Aguilera, lied in that affidavit. And, you know, time and time again, Linda Thompson and other attorneys have proven that that's exactly what happened, that the raid on Waco was unnecessary, yet everybody here gets promoted. I really am just praying to God that Matt Gaetz gets put into the post, that the Senate confirms him, that things change. I have a feeling that the system is going to try to buck this at every turn. Your final thoughts?
Well, yeah, I think that if there's a deep state, I don't know exactly how to define it, but I know it exists, and it was not eliminated on November 5th. It's there, and they're going to do everything they can to stop people like Matt Gaetz from trying to reform these agencies.
Well, I appreciate that, Bud Cummins. Thank you so much. And, you know, I'm going to have you back on again as time progresses, especially after the swearing-in ceremony, because I'm just praying to God things will change for the Malinowski family, for Brian's wife. Folks, you all could become victims just like this. Do not let your guard down. Understand what the law is and obey the law. We appreciate you back in the blue. We appreciate you, Bud Cummins. God bless you for the work you're doing.
Thank you, Dad.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're done for our Friday edition. We'll be back on Monday, as usual, here in the Krieger Files. In the meantime, stay safe. Go study the Constitution. That'll give you something to do over the weekend, something constructive. But in the meantime, God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. See you Monday.